We
are.
We
are.
We are cultivate.
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 We are cultivate.
Hello and welcome to Ye Olde Crime, where we discuss the funny, strange, and obscure crimes of yesteryear. I'm your host, Lindsay Valenti, and with me is my sister and co-host, Maddie Stengel.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I have a cold,
mm-hmm.
So I don't know how apparent it's going to be on the audio of this episode, but I apologize in advance for my Phoebe Buffay smelly cat voice.
As you make a really weird cough.
Because I'm like, but yeah, that is a thing. So there's that. It is the first episode of the month, which means it is time to thank our monthly supporters, mm-hmm. Elizabeth and Charlie, over on Buy Me a Coffee. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Thank you so much.
If you would like to be a monthly sustainer as well, or give a one-time donation, you can click the link in our show notes or head over to buymeacoffee.com/yeoldcrime. And old is with an E, because we are old.
Mm-hmm.
And also, as has become the tradition over the last several years, it is Wicked Mock Madness.
Wicked Mock Madness.
Which means, for listeners who may be new to the show, that throughout the entire month of March, we will be covering witchy stories. Mm-hmm. So, this week, we will be discussing the Mura Witch Trial.
Ooh.
Information was pulled from the following sources: a 2021 Folklore Smithsonian Institution magazine article by Jenny Tiedemann Oosterberg, a 2011 Chronicles of an Anthology Nerd blog post by Samantha Curtin, article by Anton Praetorius, Occult World, and 4 Wikipedia links. And links to all of these articles will be included in the show notes.
Nice.
Looking for more content? You can find us online at yeoldcrimepodcast.com. If you'd like to see pictures from this week's episode, not to mention bonus content and funny memes, make sure to follow us on Twitter at Ye Olde Crime Pod, and on Facebook and Instagram at Ye Olde Crime Podcast. On TikTok? Of course you are. Follow us at Ye Olde Crime Podcast.
We're going to be heading back to Sweden for this one, mm-hmm. specifically to Mura. Mura is a locality with just under 11,000 residents as of 2010. So I don't know how many there are right now.
Oh.
Maybe there's more. I don't know.
Yeah.
Near the Scandinavian mountain range.
Okay.
And fun fact, Mura lies on the western side of Europe's largest meteor impact crater, Siljansringen, in central Sweden.
Hmm. Nice. So kind of like spacey spooky.
We're on the edge of the crater. Witch trials didn't really take place in Sweden until the end of the reign of Queen Christina, which lasted from 1618 to 1648. The first official witch trial in Sweden took place in 1668 against Marit Jonsdotter, which I will cover in another episode.
Oh, so it's a big one.
It's a big one because it was the first.
The first one. It would be the most intense.
Yeah, the first ones are always bad. Mm-hmm. And during this trial, rumors began to spread that witches were abducting children to join in the witches' Sabbath of Satan in Blackula.
Hmm.
Sounds like Dracula in a fun way.
I know. I was going to say, wow, there's just so much, so much allure in that one sentence.
Blah, 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 Blackula. Blackula, which can be translated to Blue Hill,
mm-hmm.
was the legendary island where Satan supposedly held his witches' Sabbath.
Mm.
Quote, they unanimously confessed that Blackula is situated in a delicate large meadow whereof you can see no end. The place or house they met at had before it a gate painted with divers colors. Through this gate they went into a little meadow distinct from the other, where the beasts went that they used to ride on. But the men whom they made use of in their journey, hold that thought, stood in the house by the gate in a slumbering posture, sleeping against the wall. In a huge large room of this house, they said, there stood a very long table at which the witches did sit down, and that hard by this room was another chamber where there were very lovely and delicate beds, end quote.
Okay.
So divers' colors are like red and blue.
Okay. So they went together with dudes.
I'm going to get to that, and it's hilarious.
Okay. I'm like, do they just knock them out and then have a sleepover? Like, I don't understand. Girls only. Sorry.
You have to stay outside by the gate.
You stay here. I'm going to go hang out with my friends.
And Satan, because...
No boys allowed, only demons.
The devil was described as follows. Quote, generally appeared as a little old man in a gray coat with red and blue stockings with exceedingly long garters. He had a high-crowned hat with bands of many-colored linen enfolded about it and a long red beard that hung down to his middle, end quote.
It's a really weird depiction of Satan, if I can...
I know. He just sounds like a really old leprechaun.
Yeah, he sounds like a really eccentric old man living in this meadow that has a secret mm-hmm. dinner party with his, like, best girlfriends.
Mm-hmm. With his gal pals.
The devil was actually Sweden's first documented gay man. Who was, like, proudly out with his really tall hat and garters and various linens.
As you can imagine, parents were terrified. And witch trials broke out across the country. As we've seen in the past, it was children that were accusing adults of being witches, stating that they would abduct them and ride off on the cattle of wealthy farmers on their way to see Satan.
Oh, so you had to ride a cattle.
So it was like cattle theft on the way to mm-hmm. visit the devil.
Cattle theft and like stealing of children.
Mm-hmm. It's a twofer.
There's so many layers to this already.
Mm-hmm.
And unique layers.
By March of 1669, the witch fervor had made its way to Mura. A message was sent to the governor stating that children and teenagers were, quote, being seduced by old witches unto the devil, end quote.
Mm. Just following that beef. Where's the beef? I don't know. Where's your kid? Witches.
Where are the old ladies at? Feeling like not enough was being done to address the issue, concerned parents forced the governor to send a list of 35 children who claimed to have been abducted and taken to Satan to the capital. Their goal was to appeal to King Charles XI so he would send a commission to Mura.
Mm, gotta go save those kids mm-hmm. and that cattle if they're still alive.
Gotta save the cows.
Mm-hmm.
So I view this as like... ye old city council meeting where like
right you gotta do something about this man.
Yeah, like all the housewives are like complaining about stuff mm-hmm. and bullying the king into doing something about it.
Mm-hmm.
So in May of 1669, the king sent a commission with explicit instructions that they were to use prayer as a means to redeem the accused and were not to torture and imprison them.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Did he have his fingers crossed or did he use air quotes when he made this? Don't hurt them.
Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Mm-hmm. Don't hurt them as he outfits them with swords and bats and
yeah,
torches.
mm-hmm. The commission arrived in Mura on August 12, 1669. Half of its members were priests and they convened a hearing right. on August 13th. That drew a crowd of 3,000 spectators.
That's a third of the town. Wait.
That's a lot of people. Well,
no.
I don't know how many, but that's...
Yeah.
It could have been all of them.
Yeah. Could have been everybody at that point.
Except for the cows. Over the course of 5 days, they interrogated 60 adults that had been accused of witchcraft, as well as the children who had accused them. Each of the children were examined, and in a surprising move, each was questioned individually, wholly separate from the others.
Good.
Even so, all of them said the same thing.
Damn.
The accused witches claimed that a devil by the name of Lucita was preventing them from confessing their sins. And it was only after he left that they were given the power to confess to the commission.
Oh, so trying to like save their skins, like the devil is still among us.
Yep.
Get him.
They confessed to using enchanted tools. And when asked to demonstrate their magic, they stated that without the presence of the devil, they were unable to do so.
Nice.
The judges, having heard the evidence, declared that since they confessed to the use of witchcraft, they could no longer practice it. Like, no.
Because you said you did it, don't do it anymore. You know what? Don't.
In response, the accused stated that the devil was threatening them with an iron fork, warning them that he would throw them into a burning pit if they continued to confess their sins.
Yeah, he's telling you to shut up. Stop. I invited you to this secret club on ground beef, and here you are, spouting out all our secrets to all these people that we don't like, that we spent that whole weekend shitting on. Knock it off.
How dare you? Fun fact, the official recorder later admitted that he hadn't written down any of the statements that had been made by the accused, stating that since they were all so similar, he didn't really see the point.
Nice. Great. Perfect.
He was like, I got arthritis.
Listen, I'm actually illiterate. I'm actually 100% illiterate.
I lied on my resume.
I've just been doodling cattle this whole time.
And not even good cattle. Right. I am not an artiste.
It's just like cattle with like fire coming out of their butts or something. Like
they've got human faces.
And all the cattle have long devil beards.
Due to the number of accused witches, the trials had to be conducted in two separate areas in the village of Mura in order to interview all of them in a timely manner.
Dang.
The crimes for which they were accused were threefold and were as follows. For using transvection, or magical levitation, with the use of flying goats, sticks, or, callback, sleeping men, to transport them to Blacula to take part in the Witch's Sabbath.
Wait, stop. They used a flying man, so they like rode their men like a magic carpet to this meadow?
Yes. Yes. That is what they
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. I am so here for this. I would have confessed too. I would have been like, yeah, I did that. And I'd do it again.
And then they like left them like leaning up against a fence as they're still sleeping to go inside and chill with Satan before being like, all right, Greg, we got to go back.
Yep. I got to go ride Timothy back to the house.
Okay,
the cattle use them too.
Oh my God. It's just like a cow standing on some guy's back.
Yeah, the lady's riding the cow.
Like a pyramid.
Like a magic carpet, just like floating down.
And she's holding the child in like her arms, like a fireman carry.
They alternate between children and baby goats, because they used goats, I guess, too. That was new information.
Flying goats. Mm-hmm. They made the bad kids ride sticks. Blacula, apparently, could only be reached by magical flight, and only after the children donned a shirt, coat, and doublet that was either red or blue in color. So again...
Yep, the diverse colors.
Yep. The Sabbath itself would consist of one or more of the following acts. Denying God by writing their name in blood in the devil's book. Standard.
Mm. Yep.
By being baptized by Satan. I don't know how. I'm assuming there's blood involved.
Blood or fire, I would assume.
Yeah. Swearing an oath of fidelity. Taking part in a strange practice of throwing filings of a clock into a body of water and reciting the phrase, quote, as these filings of the clock do never return to the clock from which they are taken, so may my soul never return to heaven, end quote.
That's just really weird lettering.
Like, time is an illusion? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
It's weird. Time doesn't exist.
It stops time and they stop aging at that very moment. And then Mother Earth is like, why did you just throw a bunch of metal gears at me?
Rude.
Like the fish are like, what's happening?
In regards to the banquet that would be held, it was a sumptuous feast of, quote, broth with coleworts and bacon in it, oatmeal, bread spread with butter, milk, and cheese, end quote.
Nice. That would have been really rich at the time.
The head witches would sit at the table, but the children were forced to stand by the door. Like, you can't sit with us. It was very Mean Girls.
This could be you in like 10 years, but like, not right now. Also, you don't have a mature enough palate for this cheese to thoroughly appreciate this soft cheese that we just made. So
the coleworts aren't for you.
No, it's not pasteurized. It's not safe.
No.
Oh my God. Now I just imagine them being held and just like vomiting everywhere as they're like riding back on the flying man.
I told you not to eat that cheese. This is why we can't have nice things.
You need to sell your soul before you can eat that cheese. I told you time and time again, Timothy. God.
So I'm picturing the man who's like stiff as a board and snoring. The cow on top of the man.
Yep. Yep.
Who's like, wee.
Yeah, just having the time of his life.
And then the woman is holding Timothy's hair back as he like vomits off the side.
Yes. And because of the way it is, the vomit just free floats magically too.
Yep.
In a trail behind them. Mm-hmm. It's just cheese. That's all it is.
It's just like brie.
So you go to that meadow and there's just free flowing, horrific smelling cheese. In a perfect line.
Satan's like, what the fuck? What the fuck?
I told you not to bring your kids, Marguerite.
God damn it.
I kept telling you to stop bringing the kids.
They can't hang. So the children who were forced to stand by the door, some of them claimed that a quote-unquote white angel would stand there, and she would try to remind the children to keep the Lord's commandments. Like, hey, don't do that.
Don't eat the cheese.
Don't do it.
Just don't watch. It's fine.
I'm looking at you, Timothy. I know you have a delicate tum.
I can hear it gurgling.
I know you're lactose intolerant. Don't do it.
Go back to God.
Jesus saves, Timothy. So there would be dancing, and afterwards the participants would fight each other, like Fight Club.
Like, I really want to go to this. This sounds like the perfect drunk girl's night.
It sounds like...
You get to do a fancy dinner with a charcuterie board that you didn't pay for. Mm-hmm. And then somebody watches your kids and your sleeping dudes while you just like dance to music with your friends. And then to get out your frustration of being a woman in the 1600s, you get to have a fight club. And then you pack everything up and you go back and you get to tolerate whatever horrible gender biased bullshit happens. Because you got to have one really good fun night with your friends.
So some of them would fight each other, while others would enjoy the music and good old-fashioned copulation. Because why not?
Yeah, it's girls' night. It's just girls being girls.
Yeah, it's just a bunch of beards with their beard. It's fine.
It's fine.
So another activity that the children would take part in while all the adults are having a fun time is... they would take part in essentially forced labor by having to build a stone home for the witches that would keep them safe on the Day of Judgment. But apparently the children weren't very good builders because they stated that the walls would continually fall down.
This is actually how Legos were invented. It took this long to teach children how to build things. And we had to do it in a way where... Lincoln Logs and Legos can only, you know, truly teach.
Yeah.
Oh no, now people are going to think those are the devil's toys.
The devil's toys. Legos.
It's actually just a whole ruse. We just uncovered. We cracked the code, the secret of Legos this whole time.
That's why it hurts like a bitch when you step on them, because Satan.
Yeah. Because Satan made it.
Yep.
Oh my God, what if the founder did have a red beard? I'd lose my mind.
Oh my God. I gotta Google that later. So another way that you could be accused would be for taking part in the maleficia or malignant acts, which was something that was encouraged at the Sabbath. Mm-hmm. And finally, Satan himself showed the children a dragon, stating that he would unleash it on them if they said anything.
I mean, that'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Seeing a dragon, and he'd be like, don't do anything crazy, or I'll make him attack you.
Or I'll release Greg.
He gon' eat you.
He's a nice dragon, unless you tell our secrets, and then he's not so nice.
Update, the creator of Lego does not have a beard. But the whole reason why he doesn't have a beard, no, I'm kidding. I don't wanna get in trouble. He actually looks like a very nice man.
Sorry, Lego, please don't sue us. This is all just fun.
He was born in 1891. Ole Kirk Christensen. He's Danish.
As a result of the kid's testimony, on August 23rd, 1669, the commission identified 70 adult witches, 23 of which confessed to practicing witchcraft, for which they were condemned to death.
Mm.
The condemned included the following: nieces Anna, who was 70 years old, Yerp Anna from Uxberg, who was 50, Anders Perssons Anna from Selja, who was 50, Sola Merja from Selja, who was 58 years old, and the sister of Anders Perssons Anna, Enhys Anders from Muirkilbe, who was 40, and that was the only man who was executed.
Okay.
Fines Anna from Muirkilbe, who was 70 and known as the Old Sorceress. Fines Mariette from Esnor, who was 70 years old and the sister of Fines Anna. Hara Shestin from Vika, she was 79. Mm. Butu Margarieta from Vomhus, who was 50. Hendrik Lasses Karin from Vomhus, who was 40. Halnus Ulafs Brita from Vomhus, she was 36.
Youngest.
So far. Ausk Eelin from Vomhus, age 50. Mats Honses Anna from Bonus, age 60. Hiada Hans Mariette from Bonus, age 70. Beke Persh Kaurin from Vomhus, age 26. And her execution was suspended because of pregnancy.
Oh.
And Noob Eriks Anya from Vomhus. She was 35. And her execution was also suspended because of pregnancy.
I'm glad that they didn't go through it because they were pregnant. Like, they didn't condemn the baby too.
That was pretty common. Like, they would wait until after the baby was born. And then they'd be like, okay, time to die. So.
I know. It's annoying. It's like, hey, thanks for bringing this kid into the world. It's not going to have a mom now. Bye.
Six others who were sentenced to death had their sentences suspended, either due to unclarity, the hope of improvement, or a good reputation.
The hope of improvement. Don't do it again.
One of these included a man named Sven Maus from Selja. The execution took place the following day on August 24th, 1669. The condemned were decapitated before their bodies were burned at the stake.
At least they killed them instantly, you know?
You hope.
Hopefully. Yeah.
The following was noted about the execution. Quote, the sinners walked quickly, except the two last ones, who began to sigh and moan, although not such as to delay the procession, end quote. Mm. The stakes were built across from the church, across the river on a sandy peninsula. At the place of execution, the 14 women and one man were decapitated with an axe before their corpses were tied to the stakes. It was noted that the first seven were tied to the first stake, five were strapped to the second, and the remaining three to the third stake before all of them were burnt.
What did they do to their heads?
I don't know.
Mm.
It didn't say.
And like having to tie a body with no head.
Yeah.
It just sounds really inefficient and gross.
It just sounds awful. The remaining 47 accused adults were sent to Falun, which is 88.5 kilometers or 55 miles away, where they too would later be executed.
Mm.
And I couldn't find the list of those 47 people. Additionally, 15 children were also executed.
Oh.
And a further 56 kids were sentenced to a variety of corporal punishments. 30 of them, between the ages of 9 and 16, were forced to run the gauntlet, which was when they would be forced to run between two rows of soldiers who would attack them with sticks or other weapons.
Oh.
These children would continue to be beaten with rods over the course of a full calendar year.
Holy shit.
20 of the youngest amongst them were whipped on their hands 3 Sundays in a row before entering the church.
Ugh.
So I'm assuming anyone under the age of 9.
Yeah.
In total, the number of quote-unquote seduced children was around 300, and in total, 148 of those children were whipped. Many of the children who confessed stated that they enjoyed attending the feasts, and only a few of them were actually taken to the witches' Sabbaths against their will.
Yeah, because I bet it sounded really fun.
It did!
They got to, like, hang out and build stuff. Like, I'm sorry, but making kids make something out of stone is probably super exciting to them, especially at the time.
Especially, like, if you're spending your days, I'm assuming, like, working, even as mm-hmm. children, and you only really have Sunday off, and being able to go and, like, play with rocks and, mm-hmm. you know, potentially eat some good food and listen to music. Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. who wouldn't want to do that? After the commission left Mura, 6 more women were executed. I did not find a list. And even after the commission left, the vicar of Mura continued to send complaints to the governor about more cases of witchcraft. In December of 1669, another 60 people were accused of committing acts of sorcery in Mura, but the local authorities refused to conduct more trials.
Good.
Instead of being tried, the accused were merely sentenced to be whipped, which is better than being decapitated and having your body burnt. I think we can all agree on that.
Potentially, unless it's like to be whipped forever.
I don't know. I didn't really say.
Yeah.
The Mura witch trial was the first mass witch trial to take place in Sweden during the Great Swedish Witch Hunt of 1668 to 1676, which was also known as the Great Noise.
Yeah, that would be a great noise. That's a long time.
The mass hysteria would continue to sweep through Sweden, culminating in the Torsherker witch trials of 1675, which we discussed last year.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the largest mass witch trial and execution in Sweden.
Yeah, I hate that.
The Mura witch trial became well known across Western Europe and was the first internationally known Swedish witch trial. It's stated that this trial actually heavily influenced the Salem witch trials after images of the executions wrongly showed the accused being burnt alive at the stake instead of being decapitated before they were burnt. So there's this famous German illustration that was created about this trial mm-hmm. that apparently made its way over to Salem, and Cotton Mather saw it. And that's kind of where he was like, okay, this is how they take care of witches in Europe. So I guess this is what we're going to do here. So cool beans.
So he made them die a worse death because of a painting.
Yep.
Hmm. Sounds like Cotton Mather's. He was such a fucking idiot.
He was a real piece of shit.
Piping hot piece of shit.
So that is the Mura witch trial.
Hmm. Interesting, too, that the majority of the women were menopausal or postmenopausal.
Mm-hmm.
Like all except for 3 or 4.
Yeah, most of them were. And the fact that they were so old, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but the 70-year-old one, because imagine being in your 70s at the time. That would equate to being in, like, your hundreds now.
Well, and one of them was almost 80. Like, she was 79 years old.
It's just interesting that that's the majority of those that were accused.
I would be interested to know how many men were actually accused, because we heard of the 2 mm-hmm. and the one that was, like, pardoned or whatever.
Yeah.
But, like, how many men were part of the 47 that were sent away to later mm-hmm. be executed? That would be interesting to know. And also, I love how they were like, I know King Charles told us not to kill or imprison anybody, but we're going to do our own thing. Like,
yeah, we're far enough away. He won't know.
We got this.
If you want a playlist of all our episodes on YouTube, click the link in our show notes or in our link tree and subscribe today for not only a list of our full catalog, but a separate list as well, just of our Can You Crack the Cramp Word segments.
Do you find true crime podcasts too murdery?
Do you hate true crime altogether?
Has that pesky day job kept you from the life of crime you've been dreaming of?
Do you breathe oxygen?
If you've answered yes to any of these questions, then we have the podcast for you.
Live, Laugh, Larceny, a true petty crime podcast, brings the drama to dumb criminal stories, presenting each crime as a fully produced short story.
Our variety show podcast has it all. Sound effects, parody songs, terrible reenactments, and did we mention drama?
Join us, Amanda and Trevin, each Wednesday as we share our dreadful dilemmas, killer facts, and then jump into the sick and twisted world of petty crimes.
We're talking old people fights, scorned lovers, and people solving their problems with feces.
That's enough with the listing. Let's roll with the clip.
Thank you all for joining us today as we announce the gender of our little peanut.
Cheryl shouted out.
I'm not sure what exactly Anthony came up with for this reveal, but he has told me to warn you all to please step back and plug your ears. So if you'll all join me in a countdown, 3, 2, 1.
It was at that moment, a gigantic explosion erupted from the ground below at the quarry, releasing immense amounts of pressure out into the air. The boom sent chunks of earth flying, and panic to spread throughout the event. Shockwaves rattled the foundation in which guests stood, and didn't stop there. Traveling at rapid speed, cracks in the earth began to spread throughout a 20-mile radius, causing pictures to fall off of nearby home walls and turning tap water a murky brown color. You can find Live, Laugh, Larceny on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. Bye.
See ya.
On that note, this month's podcast plug is the Live, Laugh, Larceny podcast, hosted by two longtime friends, Amanda and Trevin. Live, Laugh, Larceny sets out to change everything you know about true crime and comedy podcasts. Live, Laugh, Larceny brings you small-time petty crimes in an overly dramatic tone.
Nice.
So if you've ever felt that true crime podcasts were a little too murdery, or you think that having your phone stolen is the worst thing that can ever happen to a person, come and get petty.
Nice.
And we will have a link to their show in the show notes.
If you're interested in ad-free content, consider supporting us with a one-time donation either over on Buy Me a Coffee or our Venmo page, both of which are in our link tree and in the show notes.
And this week's listener question comes from our friend Carrie Ann.
Hey, Carrie Ann.
Who would like to know, would you camp in the Bridgewater Triangle for a week? And for context, I'm going to look up where the Bridgewater Triangle is. It is an area of about 200 square miles or 520 square kilometers within southeastern Massachusetts.
No. The answer is a big fat no. Because isn't that close to the Appalachian Mountains?
It's claimed to be the site of alleged paranormal phenomena ranging from UFOs to poltergeists and other spectral phenomena. Various Bigfoot-like sightings, giant snakes, and thunderbirds.
Yeah, no.
It's also apparently home to the Puckwudgie.
Yep, that's what I was thinking of. I was like, I know this. I know this area.
Yep. I don't think I'd want to camp there. But if I did get to see a thunderbird, that would be pretty sweet.
Would you go glamping?
Yeah, maybe if there was a yurt that I could stay in, you know.
Really fun, like Airbnb cabin.
Yeah, then maybe I'd do it. I don't know if our listeners are familiar with thunderbirds, but they are, in Native American mythology, a powerful spirit in the form of a bird And they're kind of called that because they're supposed to be able to, like, create lightning. And they're apparently extremely large, potentially as big as a jet plane.
Yep. Yeah, no.
With, like, a 70-foot wingspan.
Yeah, I already hate birds. So seeing one of these dudes, like, just chilling out, no.
And it's supposed to be a giant bird resembling a condor or a vulture.
No.
I would be okay with that. If I had a yurt. If I had a yurt and I could go glamping, sure, I'd try it. I probably wouldn't bring a lot of food that I would leave outside just in case Pukwudgies and, you know, Big Feet stop by to visit. But sure, why not? There are worse ways to go, right? I mean, if no. I'm going to go, I may as well go while I'm glamping. Am I right?
I guess. Depends on whether or not there's a hot tub at the glamp site or one of those fun little saunas.
Mm, yeah. On that note, what's something good you'd like to share, Maddie?
I found a new home.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been looking for a new spot to live because while we like our current place, the temperature regulation in the house leads something to be desired heavily because the main level downstairs in the winter is like 5 to 10 degree difference on the temperature upstairs, which makes it really, really cold and almost unbearable to exist in 9 months out of the year. So good luck to whoever gets this townhome.
Yeah.
After, because they're all that way, unfortunately. But we get to move into our new home in a month, and I'm very excited because we also are designing some of the bedrooms, and one of the bedrooms we're going to do like a Norse mythology kind of theme.
Nice.
And we're going to do like foresty stuff, like moss rugs and some cool like moon design. Like we've been talking about doing those moonlights that you can put on the wall, and it's like a whole moon, but it illuminates based on the phase.
Oh yeah.
It's funny, I'm the same distance from you, just north and not south. So I feel like I just skipped over you a little bit, but I'm also excited to just kind of be a little farther from the cities and see what that's like. Dipping my toes in before we buy a home.
Nice.
How about you? What's something good?
We are leaving to go on a family vacation for spring break. We are going up north to one of the ski resorts where we're going to spend quite a few days. Thomas and the girls are going to go snowboarding. I'm just going to enjoy relaxing and catching up on reading and working ahead on podcast notes and podcast stuff and some of my certifications that I want to do for work. And we're going to kind of close out our trip by stopping in Duluth on the way back. And then we'll still have 3 days left over of their vacation to just kind of like decompress and relax.
Yeah. 3 days is a good choice because you want the 1 day just to recover from traveling back home. And then you get 2 full days to just do nothing and merely exist. Good planning.
All right. A great way to support the show if you want to help us out, but you can't do so financially, is to leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts, Podchaser, Good Pods, Podcast Addict, and Audible. Got something you want to say? Shoot us an email over at yieldcrimepodcast@gmail.com. We'd love to hear your story ideas, see any gifts you send our way, or if you just want to say hello. We're pretty friendly. Speaking of friendly, if you'd like to have real-time conversations with us, consider joining our Discord over at the Cultivate Network. You can chat with us over at the Old Crimers Cubby, or catch up with any of the other great creators that are part of the Cultivate family of podcasts. Just click the link in our show notes or over on our link tree to get started today. Our store will be having a sale March 6th through the 10th, so you can enjoy up to 35% off and spoiler alert, I finally created some new merch designs.
And they're really nice.
I had tons of fun with them. And I'm going to be sharing them on social media. So you guys can like vote on them on your favorites. And we will put the selected ones up first for you to purchase. Mm-hmm. And I'm very excited. Keep your eye on social media for that. And make sure that you vote on your favorites. And on that note, as always, I'm Lindsay.
And I'm Madison.
And we'll see you next time with another tale
as old as crime.